You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
And we are back for hour two on The Scorecard. Mike Esposito, Barry Cronin here with you. We're in San Francisco, Barry, so we have to have some dead.
We have
And here we are on Shakedown Street.
I'm at Haight-Ashbury. 1969.
Yes, you are.
Summer of love, my friend.
Yeah. I can visualize it in my head, even though I can't see you, Barry. anyway, to talk about the PGA Championship and a lot more, we head on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. There we find the University of Illinois golf coach, longtime golf coach down at Illinois. Mike Small joins us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Good morning, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. And we're on the air. Mike Esposito is a loyal Illini alumna.
That's right.
So you guys are outnumbering me. I'm Mr. Division III over here. But thanks so much for being on. Mike, you know, one of the unique things about the PGA Championship, which I don't know if everybody knows, is that 20 members of the PGA of America compete to get into this tournament. The number used to be much larger. I think it used to be up to 50 players, but now they've winnowed it away over the years, and now it's 20. But you played in the PGA Championship a couple of times, having won the PGA Professionals Tournament. And so I just wanted to get a hold of you and tell people what it's like for a PGA professional to play in that event.
Well, it's an honor. It's the PGA of America is one of the, if not the biggest, most influential golf body in golf, along with the USGA. And PGA members obviously play a big part in the game. And to be able to play at the highest level against the best players in the world is an honor that that you earn, that you appreciate. And like you said, 20 PGA club professionals get in every year. It used to be bigger. But it's something that, you know, within your body of peers, it's a heck of an honor. I think there's over 25,000 PGA members, and only 20 make this thing every year. And it's a heck of an honor. And I think it's come under some scrutiny in the past. You know, some people say that's too many players. Some people say it should be more or whatever. But it's our championship. It's the USGA puts a lot of their own individual exemptions and opportunities into the USGA and the Masters and the Open Championship. The old British Open does the same thing over in Europe. So it's kind of our way of rewarding our membership, putting on the event, and also just being a part of it. And you know, there's been some success in the past. Some guys have had some, you know, made some cuts and played well. But it's more or less just a reward for being a part of the association, being a member, and being at the top of the playing field.
Right. And how do, Mike, you got in by winning the PGA Professional Championship, I think, in 07 and 11. And I think you made the cut in 07. But how do other players get in?
Well, what you do is you play the National Professional Championship every year. It's the national championship of all the PGA professionals. And there's 312 right. players make that. And the top 20 of that every year get in. Now, this year it's different because they didn't have the PGA Professional Championship this year because of the pandemic. So they went off last year's Player of the Year points list. But I've been fortunate enough to play, and I played in 10 PGAs through this qualification. I've won 3 of the National Professional Championships. But so by winning it, you're one of the top 20 getting into the PGA. But by winning the National Professional Championship, you also get upwards of 6 or 7 exemptions into PGA Tour events. In the 3 years that I've won that championship, I've got in 7, 8, 9 PGA Tour events that same year, product of winning that tournament. So the top 20 get in the PGA off the professional national championship, but the winner gets some additional bonuses too.
Well, and Mike, you mentioned the pandemic. I'm curious because it's had great effect on everything here in our lives every day. But certainly on the college campus and in a golfing perspective, from a sport perspective, it is one of the few sports that I think you can very easily play safely. We're seeing the PGA Tour do a good job about that. How has that worked down in Champaign? How have you dealt with it with your team?
That is a great question. And, you know, the players, they see it, how it's being performed on the tours and even in the junior golf in the country. The AJGA has played numerous events all over the country with no problems of spread or in the following the social distance protocols very easily because, as you said, the nature of the game of golf, you can do that. What's frustrating in college athletics is that they group all the 30 or 40 different sports all together under the same rules. And our players on our teams and a lot of other players on other teams, you can see them on social media, can't quite understand why they can't get out and play because it's being done so effectively on other levels. But the NCAA and college athletics, they're trying to make everybody follow the same rules. And we have to follow the same rules as football or gymnastics or basketball, anything where it may be tough to be that close or cause concern if people get that close during competition. But in golf, you don't. So we're trying to work our way through that. We don't see a reason why golf can't be played. But again, it's part of the bigger family of athletics, and I think they want to kind of group everybody together and follow the same rules.
It's interesting because the Illinois High School, they said you can't play football and some other sports, team sports, but they're allowing golf and tennis. So you wonder, Mike, where are you in terms with the NCAA in terms of trying to get an exception for golf and maybe tennis and some other, non-contact sports?
Right. Well, that's a great point. And that's kind of what we're just talking about. It's like we don't understand it because golf can be played that way. But if you look at the big picture, they're trying to keep everything similar. But we haven't heard anything yet. So I guess the honest and up-to-date answer is we don't really know. We've put our two cents in, and we've told them that we think it can be played. We've come up with plans that we can make it very safe and social distance and be safe for the players. But at the same point in time, they got bigger things to worry about right now in their minds with football and some of these fall sports. Because golf is technically a spring sport in college athletics. We play in the fall, and some of our fall results, all of our fall results, count just as much towards our ranking and our NCAA berth as the spring sport, as the spring competitions do. But right now, the ACC stopped playing or canceled college golf in the fall already. So a lot of different conferences are doing things differently. Yeah, so it hasn't spread to the Big Ten yet, but there's alternative plans. We're trying to figure out what's going to go on. But I think right now we haven't heard anything. I mean, we haven't heard anything about golf because – it's kind of down the totem pole of these fall sports that they're trying to figure out. And it's a hard job. These administrators are working 24/7 trying to figure this stuff out. And we're just waiting to hear what we have to do and how we can go about doing it. But again, we feel we can play and we feel it can be very, very safe. It's been shown all over the country already.
Yeah, and Mike, I was going to ask you, how has the administration and Josh Whitman, the athletic director, how have they been with you? I mean, you mentioned football and that's the elephant in the room. And we read every day how they're trying to figure out football, but certainly golf, an important sport, and you guys have a great team down there at Illinois. You do a great job with the program. How has it been working with Josh and trying to figure out a plan here for 2020?
Oh, Josh has been great. You know, he's been with us 5 years now, and obviously a former athlete at Illinois, and he's an Alana all the way through. And I think when he got here 5 years ago, he saw the impact and kind of how golf fits in the scheme of things here in Champaign, and it's a big deal. You know, we've been to, 12 straight national finals. We've had, four final four appearances and six elite eight appearances in the last 8 or 9 years. So, we've had our successes, and people follow it. We have great alumni and donor support, and Josh is on board. He's 100% behind us. He's just following the lead of the Big Ten Conference and NCAAs right now for this 2020 season. But, we have unbelievable facilities. We're putting a $2 million addition onto our indoor facility as we speak. That money was raised before the pandemic hit. And I don't know if you saw in the news, as of last month, we just got gifted a $15 million gift to our golf programs of a golf course and all the lots and things that come around this facility. So it's the one heck of a deal for us, and people support golf and people want to be a part of it. So we've been very fortunate through all these tough times.
Yeah. When would your normally, Mike? When would your first tournament be? I mean, it is August, so you know you've got the big tournament down at Olympia Fields typically. But when would your team typically start competition?
I think this year was scheduled to start September 6th or 7th down in Indiana in Bloomington. But that one, I think they're all being pushed back or they're being canceled and postponed because of this pandemic. We don't know what's going on. And, right. You know, there's a lot of meetings and discussions about making it a Big Ten conference only, schedule, because that's what the fall sports have already decided to do within the Big Ten conference. We see that with football. So it hasn't got around to the spring sports yet. But again, it's kind of weird to have this discussion because I don't even know what's going on. I'm waiting for direction, and coaches don't really know, players don't know, and we're just waiting for the administrators to get around to figuring out. But there's so much to figure out, so much safety protocols to go through that, man, it's a job I would not want to have right now, but they're doing a great job with it.
Yep, and Mike, I want to ask you too, you mentioned the competition factor, but how is this pandemic dealing with the kids, or how are they dealing with it, I should say? Do you feel that they're handling it well? I mean, you hear about, you know, kids or 20-somethings even, you know, that maybe are ignoring some of this stuff, but how have you found it to be down there in Champaign with your team?
Well, yeah, I mean, our guys are following the rules. They're doing what they should be doing. They were disappointed last March when we got the call and had to tell them the season had been canceled, because you know, we were starting to play really well and we were getting into the meat of our season, and they worked so hard all year long to reach their dreams and goals of winning a national championship and competing in the finals, and they had it taken away. It was devastating, and they were kind of depressed there for a month or two, but then they get the feet underneath them, and then the summer events come around and the amateur events come around. They're out playing and they're out getting better, and they're back into the groove right now. But I assume, you know, when the fall season comes around, and if we don't play or we don't have the schedule we anticipated, I think there'll be some regret there. They'll be bothered by that. But at the same point in time, they're resilient. And we talked about it the other day, you know, in golf, if you get a bad lie in the rough or you get a bad break, you don't sit and dwell on it. You just move on to the next shot, and you have to make the best of it and accept it and deal with it. And that's kind of what this whole pandemic thing has done, obviously in a much, much larger scale. But we can't control this stuff. We can only go by what they tell us to do and follow the CDC and the government rules and our administration's directives and follow it and just deal with what we have. So that's kind of the mindset they're doing. They're kind of taking that golf mindset and putting it to life. And that's all we can do is just play with the lie you have and figure out how to make the best of it.
And Mike, you played this past week at the Illinois Open, which is another thing you've won. I think it's four times, correct?
Yes.
And this past week, you know, you finished in the top 10 again. How was that experience this year?
Oh, it was good. It was great to see the young guys again. I'm 54 years old. I'm playing these guys in the younger 20s and mid-20s, and it's kind of fun. It's different. My mind hasn't really got wrapped around that yet, so I feel like I can still compete and still play well. And I didn't start off very well this week. I had a bad first round, but the last couple were competitive. And, you know, again, to finish in the top 10 is something, you know, I guess you can be proud of, but I wanted to win again and be competitive. But to see my guys playing in it and to see some of the younger pros in the state that are playing, there's some good play in the state, and it's excited to see it. And a lot of these kids, almost all of them, I knew when they were junior players now, either on other teams in college or on my own team. And it's fun to see them grow and evolve and watch them. But at the same point in time, I'm at that tournament to compete myself and try to compete and try to win. And so it's a busy week for me to watch and observe and follow these guys' progresses, but also to compete. So I thought the Illinois PGA did a great job hosting it and running it. And I thought, you know, the golf course up there at White Eagle did a great job, and Curtis did a great job setting the course up, and the conditions were fantastic. So it was another great Illinois Open, and I'm glad we got it off, because I know 2 months ago it was dicey whether we'd even have the event. So that's progress in its own part that we were, you know, able to get out and compete and play another Illinois Open.
And Mike,
and then you tied with one. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
No, Barry, go ahead. Sorry.
Mike, you tied with one of the boys on your team. So what happens in that? What's the dynamic there? Does he give you a hard time, or do you give him a hard time, or how does that work?
Well, they want to beat me so bad, and it's encouraging. It's like beating your dad, you know, when you're growing up. And I've had guys over the years, you know, give it to me pretty good and beat me, but I've come out on top of, you know, a lot of times. And this year, nobody beat me, which was good. So If I beat them, it's not a big deal. But if they beat me, it's a big deal. And I had a punt on 18 to either pull ahead or to I had a little 4-footer to stay tied with them. I didn't know at the time, but Gio was up on the clubhouse deck there watching me and hoping I didn't beat him and hoping I missed that next putt because he wanted to have some bragging rights. But there are no bragging rights this year, so coach didn't get beat. So we'll just keep it at that.
Well, and certainly Coach has done a great job building a heck of a program, and I know, you know, a lot of alums and a lot of fans of the University of Illinois are proud of what you've done there with the golf team. How has that been? And I know, you know, as an alum yourself, I mean, it's got to be a great feeling knowing, hey, you know what, you know, I played here. We had great success here when I was here, and you know, you go out and you do your thing professionally, and then you come back. And as coach, you're able to build that up. It's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, it is. It is. And my life is so much more full now and happier than probably it would have been if I'd have been on the PGA Tour all these years playing. Because, you know, PGA Tour life is great. I play at the highest level. You know, I've been a member of the PGA Tour. I played in 13 majors in my career. I've seen it at the high level. But I was never really good enough to stay out there and to make a, you know, to be a top 10 or top 50 player in the world. But it's a solitary life. You know, you don't have a lot of friends. You're competing every week against your friends, but you're always on the road, and it's an awesome way to live. Don't get me wrong, but it's something that I did it for 10 or 12 years, and it just got old. And when this opportunity came around to come back to my alma mater and try to build something special, I didn't know what to expect. But after 20 years of doing it, my life is so much more full. I have so many more friends, the alumni base, and the people in college golf. The players that I coached before, the current players now, and even the recruits now that I'm building relationships with has been so strong and fulfilling that it was the best decision I've ever made. You know, I can still continue to play like we discussed and compete while coaching and have some success and still keep those competitive juices going while coaching. But at the same time, I have something to look forward to every day I get up, and it's 8 to 10 other players' games that are on my team, helping them improve and get better. And then if I want to get out and have a little selfishness and go play some golf myself, it's always there to do that too. So I've been very lucky and blessed at a school that I played at and will end, you know, end my coaching career at too. So it's just been a heck of a run. And again, to be one of the top programs in the country for a better part of 10 or 12 or 15 years and tabbed by the Golf Weeks and the Golf Worlds as a blue blood program in college golf is something that we hope we could have done 20 years ago, but you didn't know if you ever could. And to have that be done and, you know, to win all these double-digit Big Ten championships has been awful. It's been fun. It's been awfully rewarding and fulfilling, and I'm the luckiest guy there is. So thanks for asking that and bringing that up. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, hey, proud alumni, as Barry mentioned. So we like keeping track of how the Illini team is doing, and certainly congrats on that. And final thing as we let you go here, you know, Lovey has the beard. Is there any chance that there's a golf beard coming out of a Mike Small at any point?
There is a 0.00 chance that's going to happen.
Well, you know, your friend Steve Stricker has a little scruffiness going on, Mike. So I don't know, you know, he's the Ryder Cup captain. I don't know if you give him a hard time about that scruffiness. Your teammate from 1988 that he led the Illini to the national championship that year.
That's exactly right. No, he's got that little scruffy beard, but he's a big hunter. He likes to have that, kind of carry that mindset wherever he goes. But I tease him about it. But when you're Steve Stricker and you're the Ryder Cup captain and you've won 12 times on tour, you can kind of do that stuff.
Well, we'll leave the beard to Lovey, Mike. And all joking aside, we appreciate your time very much and continued success down there at Illinois.
Thanks, guys. Call anytime. It's always great catching up with you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
That's Mike Small, University of Illinois golf coach, PGA professional. He's played professionally. He does a great job with that program down there. Certainly, and I mean that sincerely, Barry, is, you know, golf doesn't always get a lot of pub on the college athletics front, but certainly with Illinois, and he mentioned it is one of the blue blood programs in the country right now with golf. So
it really is, Mike. It really is, and Mike Small has really, you know, I mean, he is the one that built that program over the last 20 years, really. And the alumni, it's not necessarily, you know, like as exciting as the football would be if the football was ever got any good. But there's an influential alumni down there that really do support that program.
Yep.
I mean, he mentioned that they just received a $15 million donation from the Atkins Foundation, family foundation, to buy the golf course and to continue to make incredible improvements with their facilities. Steve Stricker, I know, was, you know, he's real good friends with Mike, and I know he has financially supported the expansion of their practice facilities, et cetera. So it is a tremendous program down there. So it really is, I mean, one athletic program that alumni can really be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Lovey and the Beard, I think, you know, all joking aside there, I think the football program is turning around. Well, you know, that's for another show, and we'll certainly pay attention to that. But we will get back to the PGA Championship, Barry, when we come back. And our final guest of the show from the morning read, he's covered the PGA forever, Alex Maselli. He'll join us around 7:40. Until then, your thoughts at 312-644-6767. You can text us at the same number. It's Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on The Scorecard on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When the truth is found to be lies.
And we are back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Scorecard. We're out in San Fran this weekend, Barry.
Grace, Slick, come on.
This
Jefferson
is
Airplane,
of,
there you go.
Yes, this is one of those Haight-Ashbury 60s San Fran tunes, and I'm sure they're listening to it at the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park. Round three, Saturday round today coming up. It's moving day, Barry, and we'll see what happens. A bit of a surprise, right, with Haotong Li at the top of the leaderboard. The rest of the leaderboard looking with some big names there, but a bunch of guys are two shots back, a few more three shots back, but Mr. Li getting it done 67-65 his first 2 days. And to say it's a surprise is an understatement. It was pointed out in one of the recaps I read that he finished tied for 75th at the St. Jude event. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever?
Right. No, last week, yeah.
But certainly that's not projecting leading in coming into Saturday at the PGA.
No, but he has played well in Europe. He's won a couple of times in Europe. He beat Rory McIlroy, outlasted him, I believe it was last year. So, you know, he is a world-class player, but, you know, I think what he does, he just lacks the consistency, probably, and no one thinks he's going to win the tournament. It's just that he had a couple of great shot a couple of rounds in the 60s. Now, you know, you never know, but Koepka's two shots back, and he seems almost destined to win his third PGA Championship in a row, which would be an unbelievable accomplishment. You know, he's won four of the last 10 majors that he's played in, which is that's a pretty good winning percentage,
yes.
Mike, for golf. And so Haitong Li has a long way to go after two rounds, so we'll see what happens.
That's the equivalent of batting 400 in baseball, Barry, and we know that just does not happen anymore, and that would be pretty amazing if he is able
Ted
to
Williams, Ted thinking. Williams, you're right? Right? Ted Williams and maybe, you know, Tony Gwynn, right? Back in the day, he got a little bit close to 400.
Tony Gwynn, I want to say it was 394, and the strike year of 94 was Tony Gwynn, and you know, the one of the what-ifs of that season, certainly White Sox fans appreciate the what-ifs of that season, but Tony Gwynn, would he have been able to hit 400 that year? Right. We'll never know. They went out and strike, and anyway, I digress, but back to the Brooks Koepka stuff. I mean, you know, he is out there. He's very confident. We jokingly referred to his, you know, physical therapy out there on the course as he gets his legs, his left leg stretched, you know, dealing with that knee. But, I mean, hey, it's not against the rules. You may as well do it. I mean, if it helps you play it better, it helps you play better.
For sure. And there's certainly no rule against it in golf, and it's just funny to see. I guess in addition to showing up at the golf course as Connie DiMattia, our professional guest, our PGA pro guest, said, you know, maybe you have to show up 45 minutes and bring your physical therapist with you as you play golf and try to lower your 15 handicap. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and I saw this about Haitong Li after hours yesterday. He had such a great round, and he's obviously leading the tournament. After finishing, he went out and practiced for another 4 hours. I mean, this is a guy. I mean, he's obviously realizing the opportunity in front of him, but that is some dedication right there. This guy is he's out there practicing. He's leading the tournament.
Yeah, good for him. You know, the hard work in golf pays off a lot of times, and eventually, I know we talked a little bit about Jordan Spieth earlier, and you know he did make the cut, but he's working real hard, and it doesn't seem to be getting the results now. But I think a lot of people think that eventually that'll come, and Li is doing the same thing. He has himself in position to win the tournament. And you know, you never know. Golf is a crazy game. But he's the guy on the top of the leaderboard who may have he may be the most obscure to the average golf fan in the United States, other than our buddy Mike Lorenzo Vera, who's from somewhere in southeastern France, and played the Alps Tour, which is even below the European Challenge Tour. So. You know, I'm not sure how he got into this tournament. I have to do some really deep research, but I don't think I'm going to do that because I think Mike will probably be shoot, you know, 75 today. We won't have to think about him tomorrow.
He is the rare three first named player, one of them being a woman's name, Mike Lorenzo Vera, at 6 under par, tied for second, Barry. So
exactly. But the other guys, Mike, tied for second are pretty big names. Tommy Fleetwood of England, Jason Day, former PGA champion, Daniel Berger, who won the Colonial earlier this this season, the first event back. And, of course, we mentioned Brooks Koepka and Justin Rose, also two shots back at 6 under par. These are high quality names. These are really big names in golf. So it's going to be a great weekend to watch, and be very cool. And you know, unfortunately, Tiger Woods is at even par, 8 shots back. They'll show probably every shot that he hits,
sure.
But he probably won't be relevant on the weekend.
The PGA Tour is back. The Score has your PGA coverage. On The Score, it's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And you mentioned it's going to be great TV, Barry. The other thing worth mentioning, certainly, is that Jim Nance won't be out there by himself this weekend.
Exactly. The boys are, they've taken him, they've let him out of the quarantine at Golf Channel in Orlando. And Nick Faldo on site, Frank Nablo on site, and I believe Ian Baker Finch is also there too, along with Dottie Pepper. She's been out there every week following the running around with the lead group usually, and then they've got the Immelman brothers, Trevor and Mark, and I think they're good, but I always have to, I have a hard time figuring out who's who. I once met Mark Immelman in a CBS trailer in the Quad Cities, And I think I said, hi, Trevor. And boy, oh, boy, did I feel like an idiot. But you
dirty
know what?
Look,
that's
I
okay.
bet, for that, huh?
Yeah, you know what? I think he was very nice about it. But it is kind of hard to separate your Immelmans. I think they're both really good, though, you know.
Yeah, and as we learned earlier in the show, Barry, it's similarly hard to separate the Cootie brothers at the University of Texas.
Cootie brothers are tough because Parker and Pearson, who won the Western Amateur, who was our guest earlier on the show, it is hard to separate twins.
Yep. So, and looking elsewhere at the leaderboard too, Barry, Rory is at 1 under, so he's only one shot better than Tiger. Needs to have a big moving day here, and Bryson seems to think he still has some magic left in his weekend here. That's what he had to say anyway after the round yesterday.
Well, God bless him. You know, I hope he can drive every green, and you know, it's just hard to make up shots, and you know, that many shots. And I think they're probably looking at, the players probably figure that Haitong Lee will come back to the field. That he's had his two best rounds of the week, and he'll come back to the field. And they're looking at 6 under par as being where they've got to kind of get to today, because the winning score could be 11 or 12 under. So they really need to shoot low. And typically on Saturday, Kerry Haig, who sets up the does a great job setting up the courses for them, and typically, you know, maybe the pins will be a little bit more accessible on Saturday so that the guys can make a move and get low scores out there today, and just to make Sunday more fun and more interesting. So I think it'll be a great, and the golf courses, we were fortunate enough to talk to Andy Stodero last week, the PGA professional there, who used to be out at TPC Deer Run. They've done a great job of setting up the golf course and of making it really, really fun to watch. So it's really been great. It's really been a great PGA championship, I think.
Sure. And we're going to talk more about it next with Alex Maselli. Alex has covered the PGA Tour forever. He is the founder of The Morning Read, and we will have him right here on The Scorecard coming up after this. It's Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here on 670 The Score. And we are back on The Scorecard, 670 The Score. The segment brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. When your basement leaks, you need help now, not months from now. Call Basement Water Stoppers today. They'll see you within 72 hours for a free professional evaluation and repairs within hours. Call Basement Water Stoppers, 888-426-3074, 888-426-3074. More San Francisco music, Barry. We love it.
Oh, Santana. Come on.
We're enjoying it as we head on out back to San Francisco PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park Golf Course in San Francisco. And we head on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. We bring in Alex Maselli, the founder of The Morning Read, covering the PGA. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
Alex, Melrose Park... Alex is from Elmwood Park, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
And so, yeah, how about
not
that?
Not far from where I grew up there, Alex.
Right, and I think Johnny's Beef is out there. Were you in your stroller eating Johnny's Beef sandwiches, Alex?
You know, not really. My grandfather owned a bar on the corner of Diversey and 73rd Avenue. And so my mom would just send me down to the corner bar to get beef sandwiches and sausage sandwiches.
All right. Well, good. That's awesome. See, you're original Chicagoan. That's fantastic. And Alex, you've covered over 400 PGA Tour events. You're unbelievable over the last... You started in 95, is that right?
Yep, 95. Which, you know, thanks for dating me, Barry.
Well, you know what? It dates me too, Alex, because I remember that I think the Western Open, when I was helping with the PR at the Western Open back in '95, we got you a spot in the press room, which was I'm not sure the PGA Tour was wild about it at the time.
Well, that, what a surprise! The PGA Tour over my time has not been wild about a lot of things, so nothing surprises me about them.
Well, good. So, what do you think of this leaderboard, Alex, at the PGA Championship?
Well, it's, how should I say it? It's a bit fraudulent, I think.
This is Sports Radio 6.
Wow. Guys are disagreeing with me already. Yeah. No, one of the leaders, or the leader, I should say, Hatan Lee is, I think he's already pretty much spent after spending all that time working on his game after his round yesterday. When you get a guy that's on top of the board that's never been there before in this situation, you have to discount him immediately. Now, doesn't mean he's not going to win. He could. I can remember back when Louis Oosthuizen was on top of the board at the old course of St. Andrews, and everybody was like, who is he? And he went ahead and won the tournament. So it's not like impossible. But I have to discount Hatan Lee pretty quickly. So now all of a sudden I'm going from 8 to, I think, 7. And then you look down at, you look at the board, and there's very few major winners on that board. You know, there's Koepka, obviously, which is the guy I think I'd have to pick. And then you look at, okay, so if not a major winner, who is it, somebody that you really think could win a major? And again, you look on that board and it's not full of people that you would be, that you would have bet on at the beginning of the week, maybe Fleetwood, maybe not. So that's why I call the board a bit fraudulent.
Yeah, I look at that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Go ahead, Mike.
I look at that board, Alex, and I see Fleetwood. Barry mentioned Jason Day. Brennan Todd played well last week. Dustin Johnson has won this year. But, right, I mean, there's a lot of names scattered in there, and I think the assumption is, and you mentioned it, that Hatan Lee comes back to the pack. But, stranger things have happened. But certainly plenty of room for moving today, and plenty of guys down there. What about Rory at 1-under and Tiger at even? How do you handicap or predict what they're going to do today? What do you think? What do you make of where they sit coming in?
Well, I mean, in Tiger's case, it was quite surprising how he couldn't make a putt. If he would have made putts that he had made on Thursday, he'd be right in the mix right now.
Yep.
Now, does that mean he can turn around and put two rounds together? I don't really think so. I think it'd be pretty hard for him to do that. In Rory's case, that's not true. I think he could do that. If not for the 7, and he said that the lie in 12 was not that bad. He had gotten worse this week. It's just one of those things where he ends up with a 7. So if he doesn't have a 7 on 12, I mean, he's right there. So, I think either one of them are going to be playing early. They need to get out. They need to get out and get done and post some kind of number. It's not going to be, a 61 or something, but if they post a 66 today, then all of a sudden they most likely are in the mix, because what's supposed to happen is like it's happened every day, is the wind is supposed to get up a little more than it is in the afternoon than it has been in the morning. The greens are going to be a little drier in the afternoon than they are in the morning. So you should be able to go out there and shoot a number and then see what you can do on Sunday. So what's imperative, though, is that, they all start on 1 today. And if you've been watching the tournament at all, the front nine is a little harder than the back nine. So you got to get through the front nine, maybe with a couple under, even though Fleetwood and I'm trying to remember who else, Hatan Lee, both shot 31 on the front yesterday. You need to get a couple under on the front nine, and then go ahead and see if you can do a little damage on the back nine, and then hopefully walk away with a number that's going to get you within the last maybe 8 to 10 groups on Sunday. Because if you're not inside the last 8 to 10 groups, you can definitely forget about it.
So, Alex, you don't think so? For example, Jason Day, who's won the PGA before and has been number one in the world, obviously he's had a hard time the last couple of years because his back has been bothering. And yet, since the comeback, the return, he's been playing pretty well. A number of top tens, etc. And so he's at 6-under par tied. And then you look at Justin Rose, who's played really very inconsistently in the last, since the comeback. And yet they're tied, they're tied at 6-under par. And yet, so you don't think they, with their background, I mean, Justin Rose has a fantastic background in majors, etc., a winner of the U.S. Open. You don't think they could make a run here?
No, I think they can vary. I think we were talking about Tiger and Rory. I think in Justin's case, I do BBC every day.
Right.
And in the preview, we barely talked about Justin Rose because he just had no game.
Right.
I noticed he changed putters. I also noticed that he's done like everybody else. At times he's played well this week. Some at times he's not. But it's kind of surprising that he just kind of came out of nowhere. I would say when he won his U.S. Open, it was kind of a – I hate to ever say this because a major is a major and you win. But it was a little bit of a backdoor win. There are others that should have probably won that week that didn't. So, we'll see what Justin Rose has got. I mean, he hasn't shown that this year. Doesn't mean he can, and he certainly won a major, so you can't discount him at all. I think in Jason Day's case, you're right about the back, and it's really been a problem. And one of the things we used to say, and the Australians are right, the hardest on Jason Day, by the way, is they usually call him soft. I didn't see much of that this week so far, and I think, you know this too. When you were so good at something, and then all of a sudden can't do it, you do reflect upon that when you're in that dilemma. That I wish I could do that again. I wish I could be in that situation again. So I think Jason Day is a little more interested in playing golf than most people think right now. And so it would not surprise me at all if he does put a number together today and actually is holding the Wanamaker Trophy on Sunday.
Right. Alex, how far back do you think – who's competitive? Is it 3-under? Is it 4-under? Who can win? You know, what number do you have to be at right now in order to really have a chance this weekend?
Well, I think, even at even, if you put two rounds – if we sat there on Monday and say, wow, Tiger shot 65-65, you didn't see that coming. Well, that's 10-under at even. Does 10 under win? Possibly. Where we are in the score, it's not going to change dramatically from now till what the score is going to be under on Sunday. So right now we're at 8-under. So you see maybe 10, 11, 12 at the most, I think would be the winning score. So, that means if Tiger shot 65-65, he'd be there. If Rory shot 65-65, he'd be there. So, and is it impossible to assume that one of these guys at this level can't do that? No. So I think it's pretty wide open, but that's the point. You have to shoot a number today to get yourself in that position. So I think you could go all the way back. Legitimately, you could go back to even par, but I think realistically, we're looking at probably 3 or 4 under would be the number.
Yeah, and you mentioned Alex Brooks Koepka off the top, and he's right there, 2 under or two behind Lee at the top of the leaderboard in that bunch at 6 under. And, the two-time defending champ trying to do something that hasn't been done in, 70 years or whatever it's been, three-peat a major. And his confidence is there, and he's playing well. So, I mean, Brooks is certainly as good a bet as anybody right now.
Well, I think he's a great bet. I haven't looked at the odds coming out of the second round, but, I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't pick Brooks Koepka right now. The only question, Mark, is this whole thing that he's got this hip issue on the left side. Everybody thought it was a knee at first when he was getting worked on inside the round, but it was a hip issue, which I'm assuming it just didn't stretch out or something like that, which I'm sure he's gotten a lot of work on it between now and when he's going to tee off today. But outside of that, there's no question. And I think if you question how good Brooks Koepka is, I forget the scores and the attitude and everything else, just watch as he kind of just saddled up to the ball in the bunker at 18 yesterday, took about, 2 nanoseconds, hit the club, hit the ball within 5 feet, made the putt for birdie. I mean, that was tremendous. Not only
that was impressive, really impressive.
Yeah, not only did he have a hard shot, but then he makes birdie on a hole that a lot of people were struggling to make par on. So I think at the end of the day, Brooks Koepka is the guy, and let's see if somebody else can force the issue. But I don't see him folding in any way, shape, or form on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, well, you looking down the board, you look at a guy like Xander Schauffele, who's a California native, and again, a guy with a pretty tough mental game, I would say, and his shot 66 on Thursday. He followed up with a 70 yesterday, but to me, he's the kind of guy who could be a factor in this this weekend, Alex.
I always thought, Barry, that if you're doing any kind of fantasy thing or DraftKings or whatever it might have been on Wednesday before Thursday, I looked at guys that played California golfers. You look at Sam and Champ, you look at Schauffele, you look at Colin Morikawa, Kit Katayama, you look at Bryson DeChambeau, all those guys. You know, I thought they would have someone a little advantage to other people because playing in Northern California is a little different than playing other places. And especially when you take a look at Morikawa, who went to school just up the road at Cal Berkeley. He probably played Harding Park numerous times and is used to playing in those conditions. So, you know, I'm not sure that you're not going to see one of those guys show up more, a little further up on the leaderboard on Saturday, because I think you will. But to me, it still comes down to what Brooks Koepka does, and what he does is going to determine what happens in this championship.
Well, Alex, we'll certainly be watching. We appreciate your time. We'll be checking out the morning read and checking out your coverage as well on the PGA. Appreciate you hopping on with us today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Maselli, founder of the Morning Read, local native, has been covering the PGA Tour forever. And there you have it. He likes Brooks. Barry, your thought, do you agree on that?
Yeah, it's hard not to like Brooks. But, you know, whenever we say things like this,
yes,
you know, awful things can happen to Brooks. And good things can happen to other people. We just don't know. But again, he does seem to have obviously playing great. I mean, and that the shot that Alex was talking about from a fairway bunker onto 5 feet was just an incredible shot. And even Brooks was impressed with it at his press conference afterwards. So
yes,
I think you know, you kind of have to go with him. He's playing great, and it's going to be beautiful to see no matter what, because you know it's just a fantastic golf course. It just looks great on television.
He is chasing history too. The last time somebody three-peated the same major was 1956, I believe, is the year, right, Barry?
So, right. Peter Thompson won his third. Peter Thompson, who's an Australian, won his third British Open in a row in 1956. So it's not frequently
it's been a while.
Done. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and Barry, great show. Again, we are unfortunately out of time. Thankfully, we get to listen to Santana again on the way out here. But
absolutely.
Adam Studzinski, our producer, thanks to him. Thanks to Pearson Cootie, the Western Amateur Champion from last weekend. Connie DiMattia from Cantini. Mike Small from My Illini. And Alex Maselli, you just heard from the Morning Read. Barry, we'll talk to you next week. More PGA, we'll recap it next week.
Great, Mike. Good talking to you. Have a great week, man.
Have a great week to Barry. Have a great week to all of our listeners as well. We appreciate you listening. Coming up later on today, Inside the Clubhouse, Steve Rosenblum. Lots more great stuff right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.